Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and this study in Luke chapter 12, verses 6 and 7, titled, Ye Are of More Value Than Many Sparrows. This is Pastor Greg, and we're glad you have joined us for the study of God's Word in our authorized King James Bible. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests you'd like to send to us, you can use our email address, bbfohio@protonmail.com. Or you can send a letter along with any check or money order contributions to support this ministry by addressing those to Bible Believers Fellowship at P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. You can also donate at bbfohio.com using the PayPal donation button. And now we begin with a current events update and then our study in Luke chapter 12, verses 6 and 7, titled, Ye Are of More Value Than Many Sparrows. This is part one of two. Current events update. We're going to do 1, 2, 3 headline reviews in the news. Watching liberal Democrats kill our country. This is just one example this week I wanted to show you. U.S. Air Force Base hosts drag show to demonstrate commitment to diversity and inclusion. That's Nellis Air Force Base near Las Vegas hosted a drag queen show last week in order to demonstrate its commitment to diversity and inclusion. And we are handing our nation over to Sodom. And what we deal with today are Christians who just don't believe the Bible, professing Christians who don't believe the Bible. And because the church is so filled with Christians who don't really believe the Bible, they're false professors, they don't say anything. And so the voice of the church and Christianity is supposed to be salt and light. Well, it's gone from being a lighthouse to being a flashlight. And so that's how it works. If you want, as a collective group of Christians in this country, if we want to see our country destroyed and have to live with the consequences, all they have to do is be quiet. Just don't say anything. Just keep quiet. And that's what's going on. But we're also watching public broadcasting pervert our children. Sesame Street introduces a married gay couple as recurring characters.
Big Bird is gay?
Well, yeah, they're not saying he is, but they're introducing a married gay couple. And I'm not sure. Yeah, two guys. In an episode last week, Sesame Street introduced a married gay couple when two men, Dave and Frank, appeared alongside the spouses and family members of other characters to celebrate what the show called Family Day. And so, of course, we've been warning for years the LGBT sodomite movement is after the children. And so they're just doing what we've expected them to do. You go back and Genesis and read the account of Sodom, and when they surrounded the house outside Lot's house, it was young and old.
And they had a daughter.
Oh, and the Sesame Street gay couple has a child that they've adopted, evidently, according to Jenny.
That's what this says here.
Yeah, and there are some people who just keep feeding their kids that garbage. And because we care about you, breaking, FDA adds warning about myocarditis, pericarditis, heart inflammation to Moderna, Pfizer vaccines. As we've said before many times, we are not anti-vaccine, we are anti-misinformation. We are pro-truth, and if you decide to get that vaccine, you should know what you're in for. And so this is now being admitted. Now, if you would have posted this on Facebook or Twitter previous to this, you would have been banned.
Yep.
They are doing everything they can to, number one, take away freedom of speech, and number two, keep everyone ignorant. They don't want people to know what's going on. More than 1,200 reported cases of myocarditis or pericarditis have affected people mostly around the ages of 30 and under who received the COVID-19 vaccines, according to the CDC. Now, here's the insane thing about that. Under age 30 has almost zero chance of dying from COVID. But because it's about the money, that's where the push now is. They've got most of the old people all shot up with this. Now they want the young people and the children to get the COVID shot, even though there's less chance that they're going to die of COVID than there is any other possible way to die. This information is for you so that you can discern the times we're living in and be informed so you can make informed decisions. And we're repeating that because every once in a while somebody, you know, makes a comment like we're trying to push people to do anything. We're not trying to push people to do anything. We're just telling you the truth. We love you enough to tell you the truth. And when we tell you the truth, then when you walk out those doors, you have this sensitivity to the lie. See?
The song is, His Eye is on a Sparrow. Now, there's several people who've sang it, and they all sing it differently. And I'm sure I'll sing it even more differently. But it's the theme of our Bible study, and so I thought I'd better pull this out and give it a try. His Eye is on a Sparrow. It's a good one.
Message, ye are of more value than many sparrows.
Amen.
Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 12. Thank you, dear. She sure makes me sound good.
Make it good to
see you. We were telling the stories downstairs after the movie night Friday, how that I already knew I was going to marry that woman. She came out to hear me preach. And after the study was over and everything, I look up and she's up there playing the guitar. I thought, jackpot. I was already going to marry her. Now I found out she could sing. And we've been making harmony ever since. The Lord's good. So Luke 12, beginning in verse 6, we'll just read those two verses, verses 6 through 7. If you're there, read it with me. Are not five sparrows sold for two farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God. But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. God's people say amen to that.
Amen.
Isn't that a precious truth? It ought to be. Listen, if you just do comparative religion study, you're going to find out that not only is our God different than all other gods, He gave us a book so that we could actually demonstrate and prove His God. He gave us the future in writing, and it keeps coming to pass exactly as He said. And this God that we know is all-knowing and omnipresent and all that, then it tells you right there, He knows you. He even knows little sparrows. It goes deeper than that. We're going to pick up after Jesus had just said twice in one verse, fear Him. And because people don't have biblical balance, as we were talking about in our Sunday school hour, the devil is in the extremes. We have to have biblical balance. And what does that mean? That means that God is love, but God also hates. You know that? All you got to do is read your Bible. It's in there. We're to fear God, and that fear actually brings us comfort. If you have the biblical idea in mind.
Amen.
Verse 6. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? You fear Him while knowing that He cares for you. The purpose of Jesus' statement wasn't for bird watchers. It was for us to realize, man, if He cares about sparrows that you can buy for 2 farthings, I mean, He's got to care about you. Amen?
Yeah.
John Wesley is saying about this, he said, but trust as well as fear Him. It's one way of looking at it. But trust as well as fear Him. But I'm not correcting Brother Wesley, but I just think that it goes even deeper than that. It is that because we fear Him, and we have a biblical version of that fearing Him, it causes us to trust Him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings? Sparrows aren't an expensive item. In other words, God doesn't just have His eye on things that are big and expensive. God cares even for the little things.
Amen.
This is a sparrow. And His eye is on the sparrow. How many of you have sparrows in your yard, at least every once in a while? Jenny put out a couple of feeders this year. Charlie got her one, I think, for Mother's Day. And I'm loving it. I love birds. And we put out a hummingbird feeder. And I think Jenny saw one, and that was before we put the feeder out. But don't you love hummingbirds? You know, I have to rank them a little higher than sparrows on my chart of birds that I like. But I like all the birds. You see the little sparrows out there, and you know they're little punks. How many of you know anything about sparrows? They're punks. They think they're like our little Shih Tzu who thinks she's a tiger. Or a lion. You know, Shih Tzu means lion dog. And Shih Tzus is little fur balls that couldn't hurt a thing. And yet they think they're little lions. And they let the UPS man and the mail lady and anybody comes to the door, man, Cammy lets them know who's boss. And that reminds me of those sparrows out there. You have these big birds and they'll be flying and land on that feeder and a little tiny sparrow comes and chases them off. And one day I saw one of those big vulture birds and it's flying away and it's being chased by a sparrow. You're like, man,
Wow. Attitude
goes a long way, don't it? There's a tree sparrow, but there's dozens of different varieties, and what they had in Israel at this time might have been a little different, but they're all very similar. I didn't realize how people really don't like sparrows here in America. A lot of people don't like them. They call them an invasive species. The house sparrow was brought over from England. And it was to help eat all the bugs and things and help that, but they say they're invasive and people don't like them. But over in the United Kingdom, because England is very Bible-based in their culture and everything, so when they put out a farthing, guess whose picture went on the farthing? Little sparrow on the UK farthing. And I looked it up, and it says this tiny coin, which was in its day worth 1/4 pence, was once plenteous, but went the way of other coins in the latter part of the 20th century. England, like most countries, is going digital and going cashless society, and you don't find these anymore. But that's a 1943 farthing from the UK, and they put a little sparrow on their farthing. For those concerned with the Greek, the farthing is a fair representation of the Roman asarion. And there's a picture of some asarions that have been found and dug up, Roman coins. The received text says asarion, translated farthing, so that people reading it would have a better idea what they're talking about. But among the Roman copper coins current then in Palestine, there was none smaller than what was called the as or asarik. And probably one of the reasons why you don't hear people talk about it much is because if you had more than one, if someone said, give me two, they'd say, give me two asses. And so people are like, oh. So that's my theory. But now, a warning, your new versions use the word pennies in the NIV, ESV, CSV, etc. And not a big deal, but the point is made in the King James Bible, and not one of them is forgotten before God. So a bird that costs about half a penny in our money. Think that's cheap. How many of you are old enough to remember you could take a nickel to the candy store and come back with something? And my dad would go to he told a story going with a nickel or a dime and have a little brown bag with candy in it. Penny candies or whatever. Those days are over. But that's what, if you go back in the Old Testament law, you'll see that the really, really poor people, God would graciously allow them to use a dove or a sparrow as a sacrifice. That's pretty cheap. That's God letting people get by real cheap. And I'm sure you had to watch. I'm sure there's a lot of people that could afford a whole lot more who tried to offer a sparrow. Because that's how people are. But God's omniscience is beyond our comprehension. How many sparrows do you think there are in the world?
Oh, I don't even know.
Wouldn't even gander a guess?
They've got to be in the billions.
And God's aware of every single one of them? It goes way deeper than that. God is fully aware of every move of everything in the entire universe. I like to think that I try to think of God in biblical terms, but I'm telling you, every time I start to think about God, I realize I don't really make Him big enough. As a matter of fact, no matter how big you make God, I'm sure you're not making Him big enough. Because you think of God in the biggest terms possible. You're still in the finite. And you're dealing with a God who is infinite. You take the 10,000 of the most intellectual human beings who ever lived, take all their knowledge and multiply it by the largest number possible, and you haven't even scratched the surface of the intelligence of God. That's what omniscience means. Some of you might have done some work in math and you understand what it means when you talk in terms of infinite. They have some ways of theoretically speaking in terms of infinite. But in reality, you can't speak of anything in infinite terms. Yeah, there's just no way. You say, how divide 5 million or multiply 5 million by infinity. You can't. That defies...
I know the answer.
What's that?
The answer is infinity.
Well, infinity. Yeah, you're good. Take some time sometime to kind of get an idea of what the word infinite implies. I would say what it means, but we don't even know what it means. It's infinite. You can't even put it into words, Rick.
Well, in God created us in the finite, and so it's impossible for us to comprehend.
Exactly. No matter what you think of in terms of making God as big as He is, you're still in the finite.
And if we could comprehend Him, He would not be God.
There you go. That's how big God is. If you could comprehend God, He wouldn't be God, because that would be finite terms. Let that rattle around your head. I hear some of you, the marbles are jarred right now. Just let it go for a little while. Let me tell you something. I mean, when I first got saved, or before I got saved, I remember sitting there in just laying down thinking of an eternal God, a God without a beginning, a God that knows everything, a God that's everywhere. You really start to, and it makes your head want to explode. I mean, it's just amazing to think of God in His terms. God is aware not only of the sparrows, He's aware of every move of every single thing right down to the subatomic level. Now, you take a table and put a border up so they don't roll off. And you put some grains of sand in there and a few marbles, a few other trinkets and things, and some money, some change, and you just start throwing stuff in there. It won't take very long for you to lose track. If you look in your world, I'm terrible about this. I would love to remember everybody's name. I would love to pray for everybody every time they had a need. I fail all the time. In my little world, there'll be times where I'm like, oh, I forgot about that. Oh, that was this so-and-so had this going on. You talk about finite. I mean finite. Thank God for God. He's not like us. Have you ever seen a video of how a protein works with a cell? They actually have a film of what's under a microscope, but they also do computer digital so you can see it better. And every single cell in existence is going through these changes brought about by proteins and all these little things. It's just an amazing thing. And then to think that God knows and is in control of all that.
I was just trying to find out how many sparrows there are in the world, and nobody even guesses. They don't even know. Man doesn't even know how many sparrows.
Don't even gander a guess.
No.
And God's aware of every single one. He's upholding all things. Let's look over at Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at sundry times in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Read verse 2 with me. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. And you got to get that picture, is that Jesus is the Creator. You can read in John 1, all things are made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. That's Jesus. And it says, by whom He made the worlds. That's talking about the whole universe. And then it describes Him in verse 3, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person. Look what it says. And upholding all things by the word of His power. When He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. The backdrop to His death, burial, and resurrection is His being the Creator and the sustainer of the entire universe. Amen. And it says He upholding all things by the word of His power. And the amazing thing to me, since becoming a Christian and continuing to study science and technology, things like cosmology and astronomy, things like biology and the cell itself, and anatomy and the human body. And you learn all these things, and it says He's upholding all things. And once in a while, they'll bring this thing up. What keeps the atom from completely flying apart. It's not a thing. They suppose it's a force. Where does that come from? Why is it there? Everything goes down to that atomic level, and if it wasn't for whatever's holding it together, it would just fly apart. They can give you a theory of, you know, it being a positive and a negative charge, this and that, but they don't know what it is. They don't know where it comes from. It's just there. Is it there? Yes, it is. That's why, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. There's no name higher than Jesus. The name above every name. Why? Because he is the creator. He is the sustainer. He holds everything together. By him...